On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from the Seattle area, not exactly in studio today, but on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area. You might be listening on the East Coast in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York, on WBLQ AM 1230, somewhere across the United States through your television on cable radio network, one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're joining us from today, if it's live or if it's in the archives, you're going to be happy you did, because we're going to be talking to one of my favorites who has great wisdom that is ancient and yet very applicable to our daily lives. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers. Thank you for doing your magic, Benny.
Oh, anytime, Christine. It's a pleasure to have you. And I do miss you, even though you're not physically in person, but I've got you really close to me.
Yeah, I'm actually in paradise right now, but it's great. But, you know, it's with live radio, you just never know.
I know.
Pets in the background, doorbells, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But you got to keep you on your toes, that's why.
Yeah. And it's all perfect, however it unfolds. And I'm so grateful to have my guest today. We're going to be talking to Don Miguel Ruiz, Jr., and he's got a fascinating story. He is the son of Don Miguel Ruiz, Sr., author of The Four Agreements, known worldwide, and bringer of ancient Toltec wisdom. At 14 years of age, he apprenticed with his father, and he also apprenticed with his grandmother, Madre Sarita, and he learned to manifest healing, and his training went on for many, many years. And when he was in his mid-20s, his training intensified. His father told him, and I love this, go home and master death by becoming alive. And now, after learning all that he's learned, he's passing along his wisdom to the world. And one of the things I love about Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. is that he does it in a way that can be applied to our daily lives, whether we're living in suburbia or living in a big city or out on a farm. He's sharing wisdom and teaching us things that we can apply and help to shift us into our mastery. He leads workshops, retreats, power journeys, and he helps people to achieve personal freedom, optimal physical health, as well as spiritual health. And he also hosts a weekly radio show. He's got a new book called The Mastery of Self. I'd like to welcome Don Miguel Ruiz, Jr. Hello, Don Miguel.
Hi, Christine. How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here. And, you know, I think the last time I saw you, you were co-leading a fire walk down in California with Heather Ashimara. And it was my first fire walk, actually my only fire walk. And it was a very powerful experience. And I really appreciate what you do. So I'm grateful to have you here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I remember that day. That was a fun time over there in Costa Mesa.
It was great, and it was transformational for me in a variety of ways. And I think that it's you know, learning to shift our frequencies in a variety of ways, and there's so many different approaches to it, is very powerful, and it has a ripple effect, not just in the experience of itself, whether it's a workshop or something like a fire walk, but when we go home and our frequency has shifted, it helps us to transform our lives and look at reality in a different way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you have that personal shift and you see yourself in a totally different way, it's natural to see the world in a totally different light. You see it from a point of view of you see this awe. You know, from my point of view and my experience, it's like we let go of this idea that narrows my perception.
Uh-huh.
And when I have that aha moment, then I start seeing things like a child, which is with a sense of awe. I'm in awe of the world. I'm in awe of what I see, what I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling. And it, you know, like a child who asks questions of what is this, what is that? Like my kids ask me questions about what they perceive. It's because they're not set in their perception of what the world should be. They see the world as is. And because of that, the perception keeps expanding and expanding. So it's a beautiful thing. It's this ability to see the world, not only in the light we haven't seen in a long time, but to see it as it is at this very moment with what it has to offer and what we are able to, you know, contribute to it. So it's a fun experience to be alive.
Yeah. You know, Don Miguel, you talk in your book about the analogy of a party. Can you share with our listeners? I think it's a very powerful analogy.
Sure. Well, first thing you have to describe that the work that we do is that we heal the relationship within ourselves. So we have this personal journey of healing, of letting go of conditional love. And we have reached an apex where we have an aha moment, where we wake up, or you could say we have that feeling of what it feels like to have that unconditional love for self. You can say it's the moment where we let go of the illusion. Mm. Or you can say it's the moment we become sober, if you want.
Right.
Now, imagine that you go to a party and you're the only person who is sober at this party.
Oh, dear.
Everyone in the party is in different stages of their own experience with the spirit. There's one person there that's been holding a glass of wine and nursing it for hours upon end. So they're barely tipsy at all, but they've been drinking here and there. And then there's the people who are, the person next to them that's in their third bottle of wine, and they blacked out, but they're still functional.
Uh-huh.
And everyone you interact with is in different stages of that party.
Right.
And the thing about it is that the reason why we're engaging the party is because here's the people we love in our life, our family, our friends, our coworkers, the people we love. So That's the thing. We engage this party, and some of them are in their own colorful way engaging. Some people get happy. Some people get mad. Sometimes they fight over little things, and also they make up great friends. Sometimes you see someone in the corner being very sullen and sad, and then in a blink of an eye, they're happy again. And there's this huge drama, and you're in the party. So the question is, do you engage the drama or you let go? Well, what are you going to do? Because we are the only sober there. And that's, you can say that's the element of the master yourself, because I once had a teacher share with me the lesson of the key to enlightenment is effort.
Is what?
Effort. Then adding that to my own experience, discipline is remembering to apply that effort every day.
Hmm.
So the key to becoming sober, or you can say it's the key to letting go of conditional love, letting go of domestication, of conditioning, is making the effort to let go, making the effort to see ourselves as we are. And little by little, we do regain our awareness, we do regain our sense of self, we do regain our personal freedom. But we're always interacting because we don't live alone in an ashram. We don't live alone in a monastery. We don't live alone in a hill. We live in this environment.
Yeah.
Right now, I am in the middle of Santa Monica watching a park where my kids are playing.
Uh-huh.
And we're in the thick of it. You know, we're surrounded. Everyone's in different stages of their own awakening or their own process.
Right.
And I'm the constant in every relationship I am in.
So, Don Miguel, why should somebody want to be sober? I mean, what are the advantages to stepping into that awareness and mastery and releasing some of those things that we'll get into in a few moments?
Well, for me, is the ability to control my will. Because to me, I take action based on what I perceive. At this very moment, I am alive.
Mm-hmm.
I am not this body. I am not this mind. I'm the energy or the intent, the spirit. So whatever your tradition has taught you it is, that's what I am. I am the energy that animates this body.
Uh-huh.
And to have free will is to be able to say yes and no with a complete freedom of life, to be able to say yes when I want to say yes, and I want to say no when I want to say no.
Uh-huh.
That is personal freedom. That's my free will being expressed. So one of the consequences of our domestication or conditioning is that our belief controls our will, that our idea controls how I see myself, how I'm willing to engage the people in my life. You can say that it's an idea that says whether I'm worthy of love or not.
Right.
And when that happens, I'm rejecting myself. I'm not enjoying life. I'm only enjoying life only if I live up to an image. And the thing about it is that that image or that model doesn't exist. Yet right. I punish myself time and time again for not living up to that image, which means I'm not seeing myself for who I am.
If the belief is affecting our will, how do we go from the false belief into the truth of reality?
Well, first you have a moment of clarity. Like in drug addiction or alcoholism, you have a moment of clarity where you become aware of the truth. My father would call that the minimal opportunity, where we become aware of how we've created our reality, how we've created life, and the consequences. Because right now, at this very moment, I am the sum of every choice I have ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it, and you become aware of what we've created, how we've allowed an idea to domesticate ourselves. And here's the thing. A moment of clarity without any action is just a thought that passes in the wind. But a moment of clarity followed by action becomes a pivotal moment in our life. It's that moment where we become aware, you know what? I am worthy of my love because I'm alive. I am alive at this very moment. Who I am at this very moment is the truth. I can't go back in the past and change a yes to a no or no to a yes, because life intent no longer exists in the past. It only exists in my mind. And it probably didn't happen the way I think it happened. And the future doesn't exist yet, which means the only place where I live, the only place where I exist, the only place where I'm able to express myself is in this present moment. And this present moment, this is me. And who I am, what I am at this very moment, well, is this experience of life. So that's the moment of clarity. And then you become aware that the same energy I use to move my legs, to move my arms, is the same energy I use to create a thought. That at the root of every belief I have, there is a yes. And here's the thing. A belief only exists for as long as I say yes to it. The moment I change my mind and turn to no, it ceases to exist, which means a belief only exists for as long as I believe in it.
Right.
Which means it's not the truth.
That's
because the truth
wonderful.
Exists whether I believe it or not.
We have to go to a quick break, but more of this fascinating conversation with Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. in a few moments.
Take out of your wasted honor every little past frustration.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com. Or call 866-903-8255. 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the author of Mastery of Self, Don Miguel Ruiz, Jr., live radio. I trip over my words sometime, and I'm so grateful to be having this conversation with you, Don Miguel.
No, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Christine. Thank you.
You know, I find this concept that you teach called domestication fascinating. Can you share with our listeners what that is?
Sure. Well, domestication is a system of reward and punishment by which we model the behavior of an individual. If they live up to the expectation, they get the reward. And if we don't live up to the expectation, we get the punishment. And since we are emotional beings, that reward feels like acceptance, which feels like love, which means that when we get the punishment, it feels like rejection and the lack thereof of love.
Right.
It's the way we've learned conditional love. But it's also the way where we've subjugated our will to someone else's point of view. And that's the thing. Most of the time, or you get the majority of the time, when we domesticate someone, we project an image onto them of who we think they're supposed to be. Uh-huh. And if they live up to the expectation, we accept them, we love them. And if we don't, we reject them. For example, my name is Don Miguel Ruiz, Jr. Mm-hmm. I know the four agreements. I live up. I don't take things personal. I don't make assumptions. I don't do my best. I forgot the fourth agreement. Oh, no. How can I call myself Don Miguel Ruiz, Jr. if I don't know the fourth agreement, which is don't take things personal? And you can hear the diatribe of self-judgment kick in because because of domestication creates this idea that in order to be worthy of love, you have to be this perfect version, this perfect model of Don Miguel Ruiz, in my case. And I always have to live the four agreements. And if I don't ever, then at that point, I punish myself. I'm worthy of my own rejection. And that downward spiral begins. And that spur by which I model myself or motivate myself kicks in, judging myself. So that's the thing. One of the favorite instruments we use for that domestication is judgment.
Right.
That judgment and rejection that we do with one each other. And with that domestication, in that example, you see, in this example, the telltale signs that I've domesticated myself with the four agreements is judging myself for making things, taking things personal, making an assumption, not doing my best, not being impeccable with my word. If I ever judge myself for any of those things, the fifth agreement, oh, no, be skeptical, but learn to listen, then I begin to judge myself, and I'm worthy of the punishment. Mm-hmm. And what happened there is that I've domesticated myself with the four agreements, thus I'm corrupting it and turning them into the four conditions of my personal freedom.
Oh.
And at that point, I'm corrupting that idea. So now I'm doing that to myself, and here's the thing. I can't give what I do not have.
Right.
If I have that for myself, then I'm going to give this to my wife. Like, here, you are Mrs. Don Miguel Ruiz, Jr. Here's the four agreements. Read it. Yeah. Honey, you didn't read the book. You're taking it personal. Honey, you're embarrassing me. You're making an assumption. Huh. I only hang out with people who are impeccable with their own word. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I'm judging her for not living up to that image, and I'm domesticating her with the four conditions.
Right.
Right. Whenever we judge someone, we're punishing them for agreements they never made. So if you use this example of how we can use the four agreements or anything to domesticate ourselves, we can see how we corrupt anything. But it's really this instrument by which we not only model the behavior of an individual, but we also control their will. Like you can say that's how we begin to lose our will, because the best way to control someone else's will is to make them doubt themselves, to make them doubt their own capacity to say yes or no. And that way, you control their agreements because they've already subjugated themselves to your will. Right. And that's a big consequence to not only conditional love and domestication, but the way we live life. So if you can see how it's easy to corrupt the four agreements, it's easy to see how we can corrupt all these beautiful traditions that humanity has created that allows us to let go of conditional love and embrace unconditional love, but we're so attached to it that we corrupt it. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's what domestication is. It's the conditioning of the human spirit to someone else's point of view.
So what does attachment have to do with it?
Well, an attachment is basically making something that's not a part of you a part of you by making something, by making that investment of yourself, both emotionally, intellectually, or psychologically, or energetically, to make that thing a part of you. It's the thing that we make that thing. And what makes an attachment unhealthy, so you see, an attachment is actually healthy if you're able to detach when the moment is over.
But when the time comes, I like it. Say that again, Don Miguel. That's really powerful.
An attachment is healthy when you know that when the moment is time to let go, you're able to detach. But when you're no longer able to detach when the moment is over, that's what makes an attachment unhealthy, because you're no longer living life at this very moment. You're holding on to something in the past, an idea.
Uh-huh.
And part of our domestication is that's how we internalize an idea. That's how we allow it to once again impact our life and keep it. You know, it's like holding on to this monkey bar, and we want to move forward, but we can't because we can't let go of that one bar.
Right. So what are the ramifications, the real life kind of ramifications of hanging on to that attachment when it's unhealthy?
Well, when it's unhealthy, you're still living in the past. You know, in popular culture, there's the image of a movie called Napoleon Dynamite, and
yeah.
Uncle Rico is a guy who had glory in the 1980s as a quarterback, and it's the 1990s or 2000s, and he's still in that band that was once considered cool and still living, because that was when he found acceptance.
Right.
And he's trying his best to go back to that stage where he had not only acceptance from a single individual, but by a lot of people. And he's still holding on, and he's not living in the present moment. He's not living in this ability. He's no longer seeing himself for who he is. So he's stuck in the moment. And that's a huge consequence, because we're not living life at this very moment. We're not aware of the relationships we have. We're not aware of what we have. And we're not even aware of who we are. Because somewhere along the line, we were accepted and loved once, and we're trying to get back to that place, but we didn't let go. And when we don't let go, we don't allow the opportunity to say hello to a new dream, to a new relationship, to evolve as individuals. We get stagnant.
So does that attachment also affect whether we're loving ourselves unconditionally or conditionally?
Yeah, totally. Because when with a combination of attachment and domestication, you can say that conditional love is only wanting to see what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only willing to see myself based on that image of what I think is acceptable and what is not. So I live up to this illusion. The function of ego is to keep the illusion alive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but unconditional love is the willingness to see life as is, to see myself, to take off that filter, to take off that mask by which I rejected myself and see myself for who I really am. At which point, I don't see myself as a symbol with a definition, like which is what an identity is.
Mm-hmm.
I see myself as the experience of life. I'm a living being that's alive at this very moment, and I can go in any direction in life because I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
and I can learn from my past. I can still enjoy a memory of someone that I love very much, and I don't have to hold on to that relationship because that relationship is no longer existent.
Right.
But I can go back in my memory and say, that was a good time in life and I enjoyed it. But I moved on and now I enjoy the relationship I am with my wife and my kids, and I'm totally in that present moment.
Yeah.
So the difference would be, in this case with conditional love, that if I'm attached to that image of that one woman who I love, and I'm so attached to that idea that I project that mask to every relationship I am in, and I'm domesticating to live up to that image, then I'm not even aware of the relationship I am in. I am constantly trying to relive a moment in the past.
Right. And you and I on the break, John Miguel, we're talking about our kids, and you've got two beautiful young children, and mine are older, and we're talking about how, as you know, parents, it's a series of letting go of attachment, and it seems like that a lot of us can get stuck with no longer being who we were as a parent, you know, when our children have moved on to a different stage. So that letting go of attachment and loving ourselves unconditionally can be a little difficult if we're defining ourselves within that context.
Yeah, I'm watching my parents go through that right now. Like my brother's moving out of San Diego and he's moving to Denver, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And as you can say, it's my parents' first time of being empty nesters because I live in Sacramento, my other brother lives in Reno, and my other brother will now live in Denver, and nobody lives in that part of town anymore.
Right.
So my parents are going, our kids have flown. What are we going to do? And it's that thing that happens all over again, because the same thing happened when we graduated high school, when we graduated college,
mm-hmm.
when we broke up with a relationship, when we were no longer old enough to play in a play yard. I'm watching these kids, and at the moment, they don't care about the future. They're totally enjoying the moment of playing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I remember the day when I got so sad because I could no longer sit in the playground. And mm-hmm. it's like, what are we going to do next? And that's the beauty, because mm-hmm. it's about knowing, getting used to the uncomfortable of knowing that life is all about the unknown. You know, mm-hmm. to expand, to grow, it's about going into the unknown, of going to places we've never been. And not only seeing our own strength and becoming aware of that, but we get to experience life from that point of view. We're the constant in every relationship we're in, as well we're the constant in every stage of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to experience that. And how awesome is that?
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. We have to go to another quick break, but more with Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. in just a few moments.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
10,000 miles through the pouring rain just to see your face. I'd bare my soul to a total stranger just to sing your name. And I'm not ashamed just to love you. Into every morning I would change my name.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, we're talking today with Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. about mastery of self. Now, Don Miguel, you know, you've talked about domestication, you've talked about attachment, and it's, you know, it seems like it's a bit of a merry-go-round, this cycle of getting triggered, of having attachments, of the judgment of ourselves and others. How do we begin the process of stepping off merry-go-round?
What makes it a pivotal moment is that if I choose to let go at that moment, like, you know what, I'm no longer wanting this, I no longer want to feel like this, mm-hmm. That's when we begin to take the steps. And, well, of course, we begin to reach out. That's what a lot of people do. They reach out looking for what resonates with them. That's the beauty of what the times we live in. You know, we live in an internet age where we can reach out, you know, but it's not like it was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and even 20 years ago, where you have to look and know of someone and voice of mouth and all kind of thing. Word of mouth, sorry. But it's literally a click away to look for those things and search out and community and meetups and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. You look for the things that help resonate. You know, if the Toltec tradition is not what resonates with you, you might resonate with Deepak Chopra or Wayne Dyer or Yogananda or Krishna or Buddha or Siddhartha, uh-huh, or Christ or Muhammad or psychology or psychiatry or psychology, AA. Again, many, many more. Humanity has created so many beautiful traditions that allows us to let go of that conditional love, of that domestication. And it's about becoming aware that we're also so attached and that we will be tempted to corrupt all of them and repeat the cycle. But once we become aware of that cycle, we have a choice, mm-hmm, to continue to believe it or not. And when we break that cycle, that we see this as instruments that inform our choice, that we're the ones making the choice, all of a sudden it's liberating, mm-hmm, that I only control to the tips of my own fingers. I don't control beyond them. And right, Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make me feel inferior without my permission, without my, what is the word I'm looking for? The actual expression is, no one can make me feel inferior without my consent.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's the word. That's the phrase. So basically, if you become aware that I control to the tips of my fingers, people's projection of what they think I should be with their domestication, mm-hmm, only have power because I believe it. So to let go of it is to become aware of it and to forgive myself for ever saying yes. To forgive myself. You see, that's the cycle that ends conditional love.
It's really a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one because we're basically forgiveness. You know, it's basically someone will sometimes thinks that it's condoning a certain behavior, but it's not. Forgiveness is accepting the truth of what has happened, uh-huh, and letting go by no longer using it, to no longer going into that emotional poison that continues to affect me ever again. Uh-huh. It's accepting the truth and letting it go. So it's first things first, like we were saying about respecting the self and loving self. It starts with, am I ready to forgive? If I'm not ready to forgive, since it's all about breaking the cycle of domestication, that is my truth. I begin to accept who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready.
Right.
But if I become aware that to let go and to heal is to forgive, then I know what step it needs to be done. And it comes to the point where I no longer want to feel this poison. I no longer want to feel this hate. I no longer. So I'm going to forgive. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Unconditional love is to not only see someone for who they are, but it's also to respect their will. To respect, for example, to respect you is to respect your no. Your no is just as powerful as your yes. And that is respect for you. But I can only give what I have, which means I can only do that when I respect myself. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, in order for me to learn how to say namaste to you, I first learned to say namaste to myself.
Yeah.
For me to know what it feels like to honor my own son. And from when that experience, I'm able to say to you, the son in me honors the son in you, which is namaste.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to forgive is that moment where we become aware of the truth. Like I said before, I'm repeating myself, but it is a moment where we have gotten to the point where we want to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And we respect someone else's wills, and we respect them enough for them to experience their own consequence. For example, say there's a couple, and one of the persons in this couple cheated,
uh-huh.
and the other person finds out. And there's the anger, the rancor, and the natural thing that happens, of course.
Right.
Then eventually the one person says, I forgive you, mm-hmm. but we're breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the person says, how can you break it up? I thought you forgave me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, I forgave you. I'm no longer going to use that to poison me or you, and I'm not going to send that hate to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to have the consequence of it, which is I no longer have trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
So either relationship is over, but I no longer bear you ill will.
Right, right.
And
that's really powerful, taking that stance. It's not the blame and shame game. It's the accepting responsibility, you know, like recognizing that other people make, you know, other choices, and sort of letting go of your attachment to what they should do or shouldn't do, and sort of step into your own power of setting boundaries based on what's in integrity with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And knowing what that boundaries are, instead of creating boundaries based on ego, which is trying to create protect the illusion,
mm-hmm.
you create the boundaries of really knowing yourself. This is my line of self-respect. Like Samantha Jones from Sex and the City would say, this is my deal breaker.
Uh-huh.
And the deal breaker is basically that moment where I respect myself and love myself, that I am not going to put myself in a position where I go against myself, that I create harm in me.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, I respect myself with that unconditional love. And with that unconditional love, I respect my will. And with respecting my will, I also respect myself to be able to experience the consequences of my own choices.
Yeah.
And if I have that for myself, I can also have that for the people in my life.
Uh-huh.
So from there, forgiveness is not condoning. Forgiveness simply means that I'm no longer going to give myself that poison that I mean for you to take. I'm no longer going to take it, but there's still going to be consequence. And in a situation like that, like the way I described it,
mm-hmm.
if there's still love, and if the answer is, you know, we still want to be together, then the answer is, okay, we both said yes to staying together, but okay, now it's time to renegotiate this relationship.
Uh-huh.
Let's renegotiate this agreement. Let's renegotiate this, because love, and like any romance, evolves. It evolves with every moment of our life, because we as individuals evolve. So with that ability to be free to evolve comes the sense of compassion,
uh-huh.
of not only listening to how someone else dreams life and engages life, but also respecting how they feel. It's compassion is also a choice.
Uh-huh.
And from that point of view, love can blossom.
Right. What about self-forgiveness? Because in some ways, I think that's sometimes even more difficult than forgiving somebody else.
Yes, I know. I from what I've witnessed and talked to people, it tends to be that. It's almost impressive, you know, that someone is so much easier to forgive someone who's cross that line of respect.
Uh-huh.
But it's really hard for us to forgive ourselves for something like that. And that, you know, you can say that it's a result of how we've domesticated ourselves or the beliefs that we have in our life, that I'm still worthy to punish myself over and over. And that's not justice. Justice is paying for something once. Injustice is paying for it over and over and over again. And here I'm going to use one of my brother's images, because my brother Jose, we're like scorpions that continue to sting ourselves over and over.
Yeah.
So it's basically we forgive those persons, we forgive the people, but we continue to not forgive ourselves because we're still busy injecting that poison into us.
Right.
We're still swallowing it because for some reason we're still punishing ourselves for letting it happen or whatever it is. It's different. Mm-hmm. 7 billion people, it's going to look different to all of us
for
whatever reason. And that's, you could say that that's the variable that is hard to define. But eventually it's the moment where we become aware of, is this really something I want in my life? Because once we're able to answer that with complete honesty, to say, no, I don't want that in my life anymore, then forgiveness comes in. And
I think on some level, Don Miguel, that forgiving ourselves also helps us to realize that we have not been loving towards ourselves. And that is a very difficult thing to face, because underneath that is this sense of not being worthy of receiving that love.
Yeah. That's true. If you put it in contrast to this expression, one of the most powerful things we can ever do is forgive ourselves. Because with that one, we take full responsibility for our actions. And when we take full responsibility for our actions, we also become fully responsible for our own consequences. And sometimes not forgiving ourselves will delay that, like you described.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very empowering thing to be able to forgive themselves, because it's basically the moment where we're ready to take that control. And that's what freedom of will is. That's personal freedom, to be able to have such respect for our own will that we are willing to experience the consequences of our own choices. And I am respectful of myself. It's the difference between compassion and pity. Compassion says, I know you're strong enough, but here's my hand to help you.
Mm-hmm.
While pity says, poor you, you can't think for you, you can't do anything. Here, let me do it for you.
Yeah.
And it's basically that step of responsibility. Now, this is just a small part of it. Sometimes it's hard to forgive because the wound is still that raw, and we still haven't given ourselves that time.
Right.
So it's also about patience.
Mm.
The patience to take it easy in ourselves, to accept the truth that this still hurts.
Uh-huh.
It still hurts me. And to pretend that it doesn't, well, isn't that exactly what we've been talking about?
Yeah.
To be able to also give ourselves healing. And that looks different than what I was talking about before. It's all about that compassion for myself. I'm still giving me time to heal, because some wounds are worse than others.
Yeah, and I also think that there's an aspect of the not forgiving somebody else that relates to delaying feeling deeply into that woundedness. It's like by focusing on another's action, it keeps us from really feeling fully the pain of our experience.
Well, yeah. Well, it's this thing, like we sometimes heartbreak is the moment where the illusion ends. And that's where heartbreak comes in, because the illusion, the dream that we wanted, is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But the best way to heal from it is to look around and see that life still happened. That's how we naturally heal.
Uh-huh.
That's how we heal from mourning. That's when we lose someone. It's incredibly painful,
mm-hmm.
very painful.
Uh-huh.
But the way we heal from that is we wake up every morning, we put on our clothes. I'm describing the image from Sweepers in Seattle here.
Uh-huh, right.
Basically, we take on the steps. We take in a breath, stay in life. We live. And little by little, life will heal.
Mm-hmm. This is very powerful. We have to go to another quick break. More with Don Miguel in a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. So, Miguel, this hour has just flown by and is jam-packed, filled with powerful insights, and you have a new way to apply transformation to our lives. And, you know, before we go any further, I want to make sure we take a moment to share with our listeners your website. What's your website? How can they connect?
My website, my home base is www.miguelruizjr.com. That's miguelruizjr.com. I have Facebook, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff, Instagram, but that's my home base, my website.
Yeah, so it's MiguelRuizJr.
JR, yep.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have any events coming up?
Well, yeah, I'm about to, like, I'm in the middle of my book tour. I'm going down to Phoenix, and then at the end of August, I'll be in the East Coast. I'll be hitting Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts.
Wonderful.
For the particulars, you can go to our website, and then we're going to be doing a New Year's Eve tale, Teotihuacan trip, with me, my father, Don Miguel Ruiz, and my brother, Don Jose. All three of us will be leading a power journey to Teotihuacan for New Year's Eve. So, Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon.
What a very powerful way to end 2016, and welcome 2017.
Yeah, yeah. It's been an interesting year thus far.
Oh, it has. So from your perspective, what has this year been about?
What has this been, year has been, can you repeat that question again?
Have you seen certain trends in terms of what's manifesting on sort of a global level?
Well, it's an incredible transformation. You know, you can, you know, from the, you know, it's the year we lost David Bowie in Prince. Yeah, that's a huge blow, right? Yeah. Right there. Those, right. You know, there's many, many more, of course. But in my life, those too. But you know what's been happening? Like today, it happened again in Munich. You know, more gunfire, more gun violence, and it's been happening around the world. But the thing is, it's been happening all the time. The only difference is that it's live. You know, we're watching it in live stream, because we're living in a time where we get to see the yin and the yang live. Mm-hmm. For example, right now, I'm standing in this park and I'm seeing the yin, the harmony, live. Kids are playing, families are, you know, are having good times. They're all different varieties of families, as diverse as the crowds that are here, and all having peace, all love. And at the same time, at this very moment, there's the opposite happening in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's all playing live. And the difference really is we have the instruments to watch something as it happens, without filters, you know.
Right.
It's being streamed live. We get to see it. We get to watch it. But it's been happening all this time. You know, we imagine if we had streaming or TV or news when the Spanish conquered the Americas, or when Britain expanded its empire, or when the Romans, or when the Genghis Khan and Caesar and Pharaoh. You know, it's a trend that's been happening over and over. You know, imagine if the whole Inquisition was during the time of live streaming on YouTube and all that kind of thing. It's getting better, you know, because at the root of it, we're able to communicate with one another. Like we're able to learn from the ancestors of every person in this world. I can learn from the ancestors of Africa, of South America, North America, Europe, Asia, Vietnam, India, Oceania. Like all I have to do is just reach out and listen. Right now, you and I come from our different ancestors, and we're combining what we know to help someone, and that's the beauty of it. So we have a voice. We can either use that voice to continue to construct that nightmare that exists in the world and take action and continue to share that nightmare on Facebook and all that kind of thing, or we can become aware, because ignorance has nothing to do with bliss, and we use our words to construct our humanity, to construct this harmony. Right now, I'm watching kids play, and there is nothing that divides them except the desire to play, to enjoy, to have fun, to love, to engage one another. And that is the truth, and that will exist for as long as we say yes to that, as well as saying yes to the nightmare. You know, 1940 saw both Hitler and Gandhi live in real time.
Right.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the dualities will always exist, and that is the nature of it. And it's a duality that exists within us. I have the potential of being part of the nightmare as much as I have the potential to be part of the harmony. Mm-hmm. And it's free will that allows me to choose which one I want to. Domestication will drive me. There was that CIA direct operative that, I'm not sure, a video went around and said, the thing about her investigations as a CIA officer is that everyone she ever investigated thought they were in the right side. That there was a good side.
Yeah.
From that point of view, you know, the people who are doing these massacres think they're doing good.
Yeah.
And their distortion doesn't allow them to see it. Their domestication doesn't allow it to see it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the extreme of the attachment, that we're so blinded by it that when we see another human being, we don't see their humanity. We only see the personification of an idea that we can either agree with or disagree with. And if we see someone as a symbol, not a human being, well, it's easy to kill. It's easy to hate. It's easy to rape. It's all easy to do those things because they're not a human being.
And therein lies the power of your work. And we've run out of time. I want to thank you, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., your new book, Mastery of Self. Thanks so much. And
you've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.